I have a question for you. What is the Bible for you? What is the Bible for you? Maybe a old book? Or some people think a kind of talisman against evil? I don't know in America or even here, but in Brazil, sometimes I see people that they have the Bible open in Psalm 91 in their shelves in front in their living room, and it's something that brings some protection just because the Bible is there open and the word says something about the God who gives you protection. And usually I remember that when you go for that Bibles, you need to do just one thing. Just, and the dust comes out because nobody reads. What's the Bible for you? Or your Bible, when you think Bible, it, no, this is the Word of God. Most of you know a ministry called Gideon's International. It's a wonderful ministry that brings the Word of God in many different places. They go to hospitals, to hotels, and give New Testaments, prisons. And this week I read a story, a testimony. The one guy from Gideon International in Brazil, that he started to visit a prison in Brazil. So every month he planned to go for this prison, and beside the New Testament, like this New Testament, he gives like toothpaste, you know, the whole thing, the inmates they need. And so 1 month later he came again. And one inmate said, "Hey, pastor, can you give me again the New Testament, the Bible?" And he said, "Where's the one I gave to you?" No, I just passed. And he was so excited because, wow, God is doing something here. And he said, okay. So when he was walking out of the prison, so the guard came to him and said, "Pastor, don't bring a Bible." I said, "Why not?" "No, because this guy, he is smoking your Bible. He just take out the page, make cigarettes, and they smoke the Bible. So no, don't do this." So he was so frustrated. And 1 month passed by. So he came back to the prisons. But God gave to him insight, something. Okay. So he brought gifts, you know, the whole thing, and he brought the Bible again. And he went for that guy. And he went to him and said, "You know, I know the truth. You smoked the Bible." And the guy was, and said, "You know, I don't care. I'll give you again. And this is the gift I brought to you. And I promise you, next month, I will bring another Bible. And you can smoke. It's okay. You can take out and you can smoke. It's fine. But I want to one thing for you. You promise me only one thing. That every time you smoke, when you turn apart, you read. You read and you smoke. It's fine. Every month I come, you have a new Bible to smoke." And this is a true story. It's not this. And they said, okay. And I don't remember exactly. The story doesn't really tell how long it was after that. But this inmate, he accepted Jesus. Of course, he smoked until John chapter 13. But I don't know how long it was to him, to how many cigarettes until John chapter 13. But the guy called said this, by John chapter 13, this guy accept the gospel. What I'm saying here is the word of God is powerful. And doesn't matter the motivation in your heart. The guy wants smoke. But to smoke, he read. And God worked in his heart. When I think at the word of God, I remember an expression that was known in history as sola scriptura. Maybe you never heard about it, so it's a good history class for today. Do you remember what we celebrate in October 31st? Freeze, it's not Halloween. The Reformation! It's not Halloween, it's Reformation. It's the day when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the cathedral doors in Wittenberg. Oh, Wittenberg, I don't know how to say Wittenberg. How you say, can you say? Wittenberg. This is the original one, okay? So, the Reformation in 16th century changed Christianity forever. It was a reaction against the corruption and abuse in the Roman Catholic Church at the time. Martin Luther and John Calvin were some leaders in this movement. And the reformers were guided by the conviction that the church of the time had drifted away from the essentials, original teacher of Christianity. Basically, especially about salvation. So, Reformation was not really the opening of a new religion, but a return to the original path. The Reformation was not a new way to see the divine revelation, but was the return to Scripture, New, Old, and New Testaments. The Reformation, the Reformers' theological convictions about the essential of Christianity was summarized in five solas. Solas, okay? Sola Scriptura. Only Scripture. Sola Gracia. Sola Gracia. Only grace. Only by grace. Remember, the Catholic Church at the time was selling salvation. They call indulgence. And they said, okay, in the history at the time, the Catholic Church needed money to build a huge cathedral. And they need money. So they start to say, okay, you give gifts, money, and we have to give you a certificate. Imagine that. A certificate where I, as I sign and said, you have a place in heaven because you... Okay, so this is what's happened at the time, was that level of corruption inside the church. So the reformer were against this, and they brought this, we can say, the five pillars, Sola Scriptura, only grace, only faith, sola fide, solus Christus, soli Deo Gloria, only Jesus Christ, and only glory, only to God, only glory to God. The rescue of the authority and centrality of the Scripture was the main pillar of the Reformation, and should be the main pillar of our spiritual lives too, the Scripture, the Word. So what I'm saying, the whole thing here, the point is, if you want to enjoy our relationship with God, we need to know Him. And to know Him, we need to read the Bible. We need see the Word of God as the Word of God, not just a book. Because the Word of God is the most powerful way to know our God. So the challenge here for the beginning of the year in this whole practice to enjoy God's presence, the first thing is we need to approach for this book in a different way. This is the Word of God. Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone, the Bible alone is our highest authority. The Bible are our ultimate authority for faith and praxis. And I would like you really keep this in your mind. This doesn't mean that the Bible is the only place where truth is found. But it does mean that everything else we learn about God and His world and all other authorities should be interpreted in the light of Scripture. What I'm saying is this. So the source of God, to know God, is not only in the Bible. We can find a good books talk about God. We can see something talk about God on TV. Music. We can learn things from God on this stuff. But all this we have to see with the Bible lens. So this is one thing I try to teach my kids. So my kids, they watch some TV. It's hard to don't let them to watch like TV show series. Sometimes, you know, the guns, pew, 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 actions, movies. And sometimes it's even older for them to watch this kind of stuff. You know, watch 16 years old when they are 13 years old. But from the beginning, we as a parent, I decide to trust them. But one thing I do, I say to them, do you know, TV is trash. We can't see many trash on TV. You need to filter what you watch. So it's not everything that is said on TV that is right. But you know, you are not be with me and your mom for the whole life. We'll be alone in 4 years. They will be, Lizzie in 2 years will be in college in America, and Azaf in 4 years. We'll not be there. So I said, okay, you can watch, but remember, when you look at TV, you look, there is a lot of trash there. We have to filter with the Bible. What the Bible says about it. This is our authority. I can read a book. But if a book, a very good book, very well written book, says something that is not based here, is not true here, that is not confirmed on the Bible, I reject that book. This is the idea. We can learn from God, about God, in different things. From the nature, from books, from music, from TV. But I have to see these things or listen to the thing with this in front of me. This is the authority. The Bible gives us everything we need for our theology in life. It's the base of our life. So first, the Scripture is the only source that shows us what you should believe. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. It's a very interaction between Jesus and the devil. Look what say here. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." Why the Word of God is so important too is because the Word of God protects us from spiritual attacks. The question here, the big thing here, is not that Jesus can make McDonald's from bread. from a stone. No. The question was not that. I like the point here when it said, if you are the Son of God. I think after 40 days, tempted Jesus, after 40 days, remember, the devil not came only in the end of 40 days. The Bible says here, in verse 2, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. So during the whole 40 days, the devil was there, tempted Jesus. But at the end, when Jesus was weak, because he was hungry, the devil came, and what he did? He sent doubts. If you are the Son of God. I don't know of you, but did you feel already this kind of attack? I did. Something like, Marcus, if you are a child of God, why did you have that thought? Marcus, if you are a child of God, why you said that? Why you react that way if you really a child of God? If you are a child of God, why you treat your mother like that? Why you treat your spouse like that? Are you really a child of God? If you are a child of God, why you are passing what you are going through right now? Doubts sent by our enemy. But the scripture is only source that shows us what we should believe. In that moment, in Christ, we have to remember that doesn't matter how you feel. What is important, it's what God says in His Word. And in His Word, He said that when I believe in Jesus, I became His son. When I believe, I was adopted by God. And I became child of God. Doesn't matter what I feel, it's a fact. And doesn't matter how weak I feel, doesn't matter how much pressure and problem I have around me, this fact will never change. Will never change. Because it was God who promised. In another way, I want to say the Bible is our only rule of faith. Tradition has no more authority than the Bible. The church has no more authority than the Bible. The content of our faith comes from God's word in Bible alone. Doesn't matter even if Pastor Phil, me, if you say anything that is different, it's not based on what is said here in the Bible. You can say, I don't believe in that. I don't accept. Because my word has authority only if this word is based in the Bible. This is our authority. Not man. Second, the Bible is the only one with authority to teach us what we should do. So it's not only what we believe, but what you should do. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God's breath and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Our faith determines our actions. We do what we believe. This is what is very important for us, to really come to the Word of God with this expectation. This is the Word of God. This, when this book says that you have to do like that, we have act like that, we have to do. Our experience are not above the truth of God revealed in the Bible. We have so many people that had some spiritual experience and try to interpret the Bible through their experience. No, I have to interpret your experience through the Bible. And you have, and I have to interpret my experience according to the Bible. Because the Bible is the Word of God. What I feel cannot determine the standard of my living, but what God says in His Word. Third, the Bible is infallible, inerrant, and sufficient Word of God. Galatians 1, verse 8, 9 says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accept, let them be under God's curse. We do not accept any foreign revelation to the scripture. We don't have no new revelation. We don't have new revelation. And after that, what the Apostle Paul says, that if somebody comes after and try to bring something different that not point Jesus as the Savior, not point Jesus as the Lord, deny that. Reject that. This will be under God's curse. The Word of God never expires or become obsolete. Fourth idea here is, the Bible is only divine revelation that points us to Jesus, our Savior. Look what Jesus says here in John chapter 5, 39. "You study the scripture diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scripture that testifies about me." Jesus was talking with the religious leaders in Israel when he said that. Both the Old and New Testament emphasize the person and work of Jesus Christ. Long time ago came somebody asked me a question and said, how a person was saved in the Old Testament? It's a very good question. How a person was saved on the Old Testament? Because Jesus came only in the New Testament. How? Was because they followed the whole religious stuff, the whole sacrifice, you know, the rituals. This is why. How? And what came to mind, and at least for me, was answering the question, was the thing is, as in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, the way of salvation was the same. It's faith. There is a slight difference between them. In the Old Testament, the Jewish people, the people of Israel, they have faith on the Messiah that will come. So God provides the whole, the illustration, the symbols to reinforce their belief. So the temple, the sacrifice, the whole thing was pointing to Jesus, the Messiah in the future. But to be saved here, they need to believe in the Messiah will come. When they do the sacrifice, when they do the rituals, they I believe that one day the Messiah will come. They were saved because of that. Faith on the Messiah will come. But in the New Testament, I'm saved and you are saved because we believe in the Messiah that already came. You get that? It's all about faith. One faith in something or somebody that will come and something that already came. One book show one thing. The tabernacle, the temple, the rituals, and the Jewish feasts points to Jesus. The Bible testifies of Jesus and point him as the only name given among men by which it matters that we are saved. Look at this beautiful verse, Acts chapter 4, 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. We can find this only in the Bible. So when you think about start a new year with this resolution, we want to enjoy our relationship, with God more and more. We need to remember that the Word of God is the most powerful way to you to know God. And how we can do it in a practical way? Yeah, we read the Word. We have many ways to do this. Some people can do it in the morning, some people during the lunch, some people during the night, depends. But we need to read. Remember the guy that smoked the Bible? The motivation even was wrong. But the Bible changed his heart. And sometimes what's happened is we read and we will not understand. They said, why? Oh. But the truth is the Spirit is ministering your spirit there. The Holy Spirit is ministering your heart there. Just keep going. So I challenge you to read the Bible. Doesn't matter if it's one chapter or half page, but read every day. Read, read, read. We cannot only read, we have to meditate. Pastor Phil, we already talked about that in the past. One example is the Lectio Divina. It's something that you read the Bible, read the verse, just a small amount, and you read, and you stop and think about it just for a few minutes. Try to imagine it. Come back again, read again the same passage. Come back again. Just to meditate. It's different. And we can memorize the Word. We have all different ways. You can put in front of your mirror and put the words and memorize. And when we memorize, to know this will be part in our hearts. I have verses in my heart language that I memorized in the first week when I became a believer. And when I memorize this verse, it's alive in my heart. And I will not say it here again, because I already told a testimony that one time when I was in front of a temptation, the verse came to my heart and take me away and save me from temptation, because the Word of life, the Word of God was alive, that came to my heart, the Word. So when you need, the Word is come. So it's very important to read, to memorize. And this will help us to be connected with the Lord. And sing the Word. I found yesterday, I just checked, there is, you can find bands that play, the lyrics are word by word, Psalms, word by word. So you can sing the word. It's wonderful, because in the same way you memorize, you worship, you think. All this is just a first step to help us to know God. And when you know God, we can have a better relationship with Him. Because how can I have a good relationship with my wife if I don't know her? When I need to know her. And to know God, the most powerful way is through the Bible. Through the Bible. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are thankful for you, Lord, for this word. The word of God that you send to reveal yourself to us. And you pray that we can have this feeling. We can embrace sola scriptura, the authority of scripture in our lives will be real every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.